I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I haven't been up here in a while. Feels lofty. I feel my finger coming out. And I start with that joke because these readings really lend themselves to finger-wagging sermons. I mean, were you paying attention? You know, when you come into the land of milk and honey, take care that you do not forget the Lord your God and think that you and the might of your own hand got you this lifestyle. Is this not a finger wag against the secular capitalist West? Is it not? The second reading, God loves a cheerful giver. If you have a mindset of abundance, you will be more generous. If you have a mindset of scarcity, you will be more greedy. So have a mindset of abundance so you're not greedy, horrible people. And, you know, I'm a little aside. When I was in seminary, I was shown a movie for all the seminarians, and it was just a little, I don't know. I never saw it in theaters. I never heard about it till it was shown in seminary, but it's a professional production about a young curate. There's one scene where the curate got up in front of the congregation, you know, brand new, fresh out of seminary, and wagged his finger and berated you with your wealth and your comfort and all the rest of it. And the old guy, the mentor, sat down with him after, said, okay, let's go over the text of your sermon. And he said, okay, so read it to me. And you with your wealth. No. We. Say we. Yeah. Well, it doesn't work like that. Yes, it does. It's a good little vignette. And so when I do the finger wagging, I always make sure that I finger wag it myself, which kind of matches how I live, because I'm always doing this to myself. I know this. I know I should be grateful. Thanksgiving, we gather, we give thanks to God for all our blessings. But it's hard to feel it a lot of the time. I worry about my kids. I worry if they'll ever afford a house in this economy. I worry about their jobs and their security. I worry about the planet being on fire. I worry about the rise of violence and cults and fascism and all the things. And it's hard to feel grateful when I am consumed with anxiety and worry about the state of the planet and how it's going to be for the people I care about and the people I don't even know, but I do care about in a general way. And what about the wars in Europe and Africa? And, you know, I just don't want to look at it because it doesn't instill a feeling of gratitude. And where I'm leading up to is that all the finger wagging in the world, I may nod my head and say, yes, that is absolutely right, and I should feel more grateful. I mean, one of the points about Deuteronomy is that they're talking about this land of milk and honey, and they're still talking about a land of milk and honey 2,700 years ago when the life expectancy was about 35. You're still going to die of lack of hygiene, you know. And here we are, where the average life expectancy is somewhere in the upper 70s and above. And, you know, people die at 72, and we go, oh, they're so young, you know. And it wasn't that long ago when 72 was a ripe old age. And but I have a season's pass to Silver Star, you know. And yet in this unbelievably abundant life, we still feel worried. We still focus on the scarcity. We still can't feel grateful. And no amount of finger wagging at us, whether done by a preacher at the front or done in our own heads to ourselves, is going to change our feelings. And that's what I want to share my thoughts with you about today. It's what to do about the fact that we know that we should feel differently and we don't. The thing that has helped me the most with that, because I know I should feel grateful and I don't feel as grateful as I should, is not to should myself into submission, because it never works. All I add is another layer of guilt. You know, not only am I not feeling as grateful as I should, but I'm a bad person for not feeling grateful, so I now feel worse about myself in addition to feeling bad about the way the world is. This is an improvement. No, it's not. So we have to unpack the mechanics of why it is we continue to come back to that mindset of scarcity. Why is it that we still have trouble feeling grateful, despite the manifest abundance of our lives. Why? My theory, so here we go, my theory is that it has to do with how we pay attention. Reality is not subjective, it is objective, but our experience of it is subjective. And so all we know is what we see, what we experience, and that's how we evaluate and understand life. And there is something wired into us that whenever something is upsetting or scary or bad, we become laser focused on the upsetting, scary, bad thing, and we lose our ability to focus on all the other good things that happen. So, and all of us do that in some way. I remember a very famous performer at the height of their fame talking about, they're a stand-up comedian, and they were talking about doing giant arenas where they just see a sea of laughing people, and then there's one person right there just going, this is dumb and stupid, and that's all they see when they've got an arena full of people loving their act. Right? And we all do that. We all zero in. So when we gather for Thanksgiving Sunday to give thanks for our blessings, this is an opportunity and a practice for us to widen our focus, to start focusing, to learn how to shift our attention from the things that preoccupy us, which are always the scary and bad things, onto the things that we take for granted. And just look at them. Now, don't worry about the feelings right away. Just change what you're looking at. And so today we change. We give thanks to God in prayer for our many blessings, which is a way of looking at them instead of, yeah. Of course, we're going to live until we're 85. Easy. I'm hoping to get to 100. You know, and if I don't get to 100, I'll be darn upset. Right. So we shift our focus. I'm still alive today. I needn't be alive today. Little story from my own personal childhood. I drowned when I was like 4. And the doctor said, well, he's going to live, but he'll probably have brain damage. True. But I shouldn't be here. I should not be here. Everything that has happened, all the struggles, the traumas, the trials, and everything that I've gone through, good and bad, would not have been possible if I had died that day. So every day is a gift. And you can say the same in your stories. This is just one story. It's not even a special one. You are alive today. And that is gift. And when we start paying attention to it, then the feelings can come. We can't change our feelings directly. We can't tell ourselves how to feel. What we can do is change what we look at. And that is what a gratitude practice is. And so much of what we do on Sunday morning is lifting up for our awareness things that we should be doing all the time, right? We talk about things at Christmas and we should be charitable at Christmas. Well, that's because we should be charitable all the time. We give thanks. We treat our sacraments as holy, because they are holy, but they remind us that all of creation is holy, that God is infused in every particle of this universe. And so we pay attention to it here, but that paying attention to it broadens our ability to see, so that our whole subjective experience of reality changes and we are much more able to be grateful, because the gratitude feelings come when we're paying attention to those things. So what we do this morning in prayer is when we list our blessings in our own minds, giving thanks to God for all that we have and all that God has blessed us with, we shift our attention and we let the feelings be what they are. And if we can't feel grateful, that doesn't mean we're bad people. It just means that there is something that is still dragging us and dragging our attention towards itself. And if we can get into the architecture of that and understand why it is we are compelled to keep looking at that thing, then we are able to release it and then broaden our view one more time. And this is an everyday practice. There's a little experiment for people on retreats where the retreat leader at random points in the day would just say, stop. And then the job of the retreat participants are to say, what am I thinking about right now? And usually you're worrying or ruminating or focusing on something that happened to you that if you only had thought of the right thing to say, you would have shown them, but you weren't that quick in the moment. I mean, when you actually pay attention to where you're paying attention, a lot can be revealed about what your preoccupations are. And then you can ask, why am I preoccupied with that? What am I afraid of? What hurts me about that? Is there something that I can release about that so that I can be free of it? And so it becomes part of the general Christian spiritual movement from slavery to freedom. And we are slaves to our attention. I don't know how to fit this in, but we live in an attention economy, which is making that laser, is monetizing that laser focus on the negative, on what we don't have. Advertising has done that for years. But social media does that in terms of our fears about politics and all the rest of it. And so in our context, it's even more important to be disciplined and spiritually grounded and to say, yes, every time I pull out my phone, I have the attention economy dragging my laser focus back to all that is missing and wrong and broken. And part of what I need to do is find out where that's coming from, let the fears go, and allow myself to just remember and pay attention to the fact that I am alive, I am breathing, I have relationships, friendships, people I care about, and an unbelievable life of abundance that was not imaginable even 100 years ago. Thanks be to God. Amen.